Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who while on his way to Jerusalem to die for us, wished that he could cover us with his wings as a mother hen covers her chicks. Amen. Our text today is that reading from the book of Romans, where Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And we pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Set us apart from this world by them. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, it's a sickening sound, the sound of crunching metal and glass being crushed. And then there's silence. And for those couple of moments after it's happened, you have the ability to think a whole hour's worth of thoughts because your mind is racing after the accident. You think, I wonder if everybody's okay. And when you see that everybody is okay, then you begin to think to yourself, am I covered? Is my insurance going to handle this, or am I going to be paying for this for a long, long time? Am I covered? Last Wednesday, we had a rainstorm here, and for those of you who are not from Havasu, that's a big deal. Doesn't happen very often. The clouds came in, and then the drops started falling, and they got bigger and bigger, and the wind picked up. And I thought as I looked out the window, I hope everybody is under cover because this is going to be kind of violent, and it sure was. Being covered is important. Are you covered? Are you protected? Will this situation that you're in right now harm you and continue to harm you, or can you go on confident that you won't be harmed? That's the question that we want to consider when we come to this reading from chapter 8 of Paul's letter to the Romans. Are you covered? St. Paul is not writing about a rainstorm or an automobile wreck or really any kind of earthly calamity here. We need protection from those kinds of troubles, that's true. And God has promised to protect us from such things as long as it benefits our eternal welfare. But here St. Paul is not focusing on physical things, but focusing on more important spiritual truths. He's thinking about the dark clouds of God's law gathering over us, over our heads. He's thinking about the wreck that sin has made of our lives. In chapter 7, Paul looked at himself, kind of introspectively. He looked at what was going on in his life, and he wrote these famous tongue-twisting words. Hopefully I can say them right. "For what I do is not the good I want to do. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul struggled with sin just like we all do. He knew what we are going through. Ever had that conversation with yourself? I'm guessing most of you have. You know what's right, and yet there's part of you that doesn't want to do that. You know what's right, but you give in to that temptation and do what's wrong anyway. And when you choose sin, it seems like freedom. It seems like you get to do what you want, but when you choose that to sin, it's not really freedom. It's slavery. Like Paul, we Christians know and we delight in God's law. We know that it's true. We know that it's perfect. We know that it's right. And when we follow it, we know that we will be greatly spiritually blessed. But the problem is, there's another law at work in our members. The law of sin. And it rules when we obey it. That law of sin brings condemnation, Paul says. That word in Greek, when you translate it into English, doesn't come across with all its meaning there. It means judgment coming down from above. And that's exactly what the law of sin brings upon us, a judgment from above, from a higher authority. Sure, sometimes our sin causes some immediate problems for us, things that we notice right away. Sometimes sinning can even bring death upon a person. But Paul's really getting at the law of sin that is at work in us human beings, the sinful nature. That nature that we're born with because of Adam and Eve's sin. That nature that we are enslaved by like some terrible drug addiction. We just can't get away from it. We keep on choosing to do wrong in our lives because sin is already in us from the moment we're conceived, as David said. And that sin in us is hated greatly by God. He looks at us and he hates that sin. Sure, sometimes sin is that immediate thing. But what God really hates is that sin receives death as its end. That's what Paul means when he writes of condemnation. God will not have sin. And so he condemns it. It is spoken against. It is judged from above. Sin will perish along with anything judged to be filled with sin. All of it will be cast into the outer darkness of hell, where God will no longer deal with it except in his wrath. That's a dark cloud that we're under. Are you covered? What an important question that is. Paul was. He says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Are you covered? You see, God would not have us die. The scriptures tell us that he wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants all of you to know the truth about him. He wants repentance in our inner being. He wants to turn us away from that law of sin. And that's not something that we can do for ourselves. We needed to be rescued. We needed a Savior. Not a coach. Not somebody to give us directions on how to get things straightened out. But we needed a rescuer. Someone who would come in and save us. And only Jesus could do that. Only the sinless Son of Man and that humble Son of God in one could do what was necessary, could be that perfect sacrifice there in Jerusalem that would substitute for us. He would take upon Himself the guilt of all our sins, and He would be punished in our place. That's what He did for us. He took our place under that impending judgment of God and took the full wrath of God upon Himself. He stepped in and said, "Blame me, punish me, and count my life as though it were theirs." That's what He does for us. And He did this to cover you. Not with some flimsy umbrella or an insurance policy. You are covered by Christ's righteousness, His perfect, everlasting goodness. And when the judgment comes down, it's not guilty for you. That's what God will say, not guilty, because He has resolved in His mind to see only Christ's perfection in you. You're forgiven. Though He never sinned, though the law of sin was not at work in Jesus ever, He accepted the punishment and the condemnation because He loved us so much, because He wanted to serve us so much in our greatest need, because He wanted to save us from our sins and from everlasting damnation. That's an accomplished fact, what He did. It's never going to change. It's indisputable, even though the enemies of Christ often try to confuse the issue, often try to appeal to our sinful nature and say, well, maybe you can patch things up with God. But we can't. Only Christ could do what needed to be done, and He's done that. Our sinful nature will be there tempting, encouraging us to sin, and we will struggle with it, and the devil and the world around us will throw temptations at us too at every opportunity. But there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you fall in your weakness, when you fall into those temptations, don't stay in them. Don't wallow in them. Turn from them. God has forgiven you. He welcomes you back. He has covered you with Christ's righteousness. You need not fear Him. Believe that. That's what He says to you. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so, He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Listen to what God is telling you there. We who are in Christ are not condemned. We cannot be condemned. God surely sees that we're sinners. He surely knows the weakness of our hearts and how many times we fall into sin, and He hates sin. But the judgment on you has gone in your favor because of Jesus. Christ has covered you with His sinlessness. We don't need to fear. Death cannot claim us. The Scriptures say, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Death will try to take you, and no doubt for a little while might succeed. But we will pass through it like we pass through a night sleeping. We're freed from the grasp of death. And we have the sure proof of that in that empty tomb that we look forward to celebrating on Easter Sunday. Death could not hold our Lord because he was righteous. And because he credits his righteousness to you, it cannot hold you either. It must let you free. So we need not fear. We need no longer be slaves to our sinful nature. Now, those who don't believe, those who have rejected what God has said, those who are not covered because they've cast Christ aside, the Scriptures tell us they cannot do good. They can't fix this themselves. It might look good what they're doing, but they cannot fix their fundamental problem with God. The Lord has to do that through Christ. You put to death in yourself the misdeeds of the sinful flesh. That's your goal as a Christian. Put those things to death. They don't need to have any power over you anymore. Don't live as though you were under the thumb of the law of sin, as though it were ruling you day after day. Serve God with a cheerful heart, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that the Spirit dwells in you, knowing that your sins are covered and paid for by the Savior. So when you think on that question, are you covered? I hope that you know the answer to that question by now. You are. There's no doubt about it. And when you fall, remember that you are covered and repent. As God lifts you up again, you're his own dear child now and forever. He won't let you down. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Whether in good times or in bad, whether the metal is crunching and the glass is being crushed around you, whether the rain is pounding on your head, you are right with God because of what Jesus did for you. Believe that. Listen to the words of our psalm this morning. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.